of it is trial by fire. Quest.
Una questa.
You find it, we alert the Slayer, we help her destroy it, we save Sunnydale. Then we join her gang and possibly hang out at her house. Right.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 133 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I am Camila.
I'm Marcella.
Is there like that much of a lag on this?
No, I was, sorry, I was reading something about a special guest star we have in this episode, and it struck me that he was in a third thing that I didn't realize, and then I remembered who he was, and it like...
It stopped everything.
I was like, oh yeah.
All right. Let's.
This guy
sucked. We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to Holden. I guess I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. Before that, You know, this is the regular housekeeping, folks. Please follow us, like us, share, review, and rate, and all that good stuff. Facebook, we are Revisiting Sunnydale. Twitter, we are at Back to Sunnydale, and on Instagram at RVS_podcast. And you can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. First and foremost, and I didn't check to see if this was true for the other side, but I saw that Angel is now on Disney Plus.
Somebody said that, and I have yet to look because I own it.
Right.
So I have not looked, but that seems weird.
I mean, I saw that. What's her name? Oh, God, help me. Cordelia. What is her Charisma had posted.
Cordelia.
That, yeah.
It makes her a, that does it make her? Yeah. Charisma.
Yeah. She posted that. And then I Googled
it. Does that make
it.
Her a Disney princess? No, it's not on our version of Disney Plus. So I'm wondering if it's on that Star, which is like the UK European version of Disney Plus, which has a lot. It's like Disney Plus and Netflix sort of combined. It's that kind of platform. They have a ton of stuff that we don't have.
Oh, okay. So, I feel a little jilted, but that's fine. But the other thing that I am super excited, well, I guess I'm not excited about that anymore. But the other thing that I'm excited about is Moon Knight coming to Disney Plus.
Yes.
Oscar Isaac.
Mr. Oscar Isaacs.
With a fake British accent.
Is so precious. That accent was so wonky. I don't know where he got that, who told him that was okay. Thankfully, it's just one of his personalities, so.
Oh, okay. So
I'm okay with it.
I don't know much about this Moon Knight character, so I don't know, like, so he's got multiple personalities? Is that what the gig is? Like, I watched the trailer. I was like, Oscar Isaac, hot. Let's watch it.
Yeah. So you know the part in the trailer where that woman calls him and she's like, Mark, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the Mark is, that's the base personality. Mm-hmm. And these other, so I guess he's just been living in London for 2 years as somebody else. And that's what makes this character so interesting is he's got a borderline personality disorder, like a DID.
Yes.
Dissociative. Identity disorder. Yeah.
All right. I'm here for it, man. Let's just get it on already. Let's do it.
Right. And that's March 30th. So it's it's only a little over a month and a half away.
It just seems like forever in television year and television days, but I'll get over
it.
It's going to take forever. So
it's not like you have to wait a whole year like we used to for Buffy.
I know, right? And I hope, and I guess they're going to be doing the whole thing like weekly episodes and not just throw them all up there. It's going to be like Loki and everybody else, which kind of pisses me off.
Well, you are free to wait until it's over.
I can't do that.
You would have to like cancel your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for a month, but.
Exactly. It's like I'm already just like thirsty for any and all new Oscar content. So.
Right. I could live off of the way he looked at Jessica Chastain on that red carpet for the rest of my life.
Good Lord. Did you watch the show that they were on? What was it like?
I did not.
Man. There's one scene in one episode. what's like, there's one scene in one episode that's probably like the hottest 2 minutes I've ever seen on television in my life. And, oh, wow. And I just don't understand how Jessica, how she has a husband, how he's just like, yeah, that's cool. You know, how he can sit and maybe have drinks with Oscar or anything like that. I was just going to merely point out that this is not the Oscar Isaac fan club podcast yet, but we're here to talk about season 7, episode 7, Conversations with Dead People. Original air date, November 12th. 20, I fucked up the date. I don't remember. I don't know. 2002, maybe, because on my notes it says 2022. It aired in the future.
Way in the future. It's new. It'll be out. Coming soon.
This is just like some really...
We have single-handedly brought Buffy back.
Right, exactly. This is like some really highbrow like technology like they've been doing. You know, they do all these episodes way back in the 90s and early 2000s, and then they wait. They finish the show completely, but then they hold off on one episode to be sent to be played in 20 years later. So this is like some real... revolutionary business that they were doing way back when. Written by Jane Espenson and Drew Goddard, directed by Nick Mark, with a pretentious spelled with pretentiously with M-A-R-C-K.
Okay.
I feel like that. Okay, whatever. So the gang receives a wave of ominous visitations. Joyce visits Dawn from beyond the grave. Buffy has a startling conversation with a vampire. Willow thinks she's talking to Tara's spirit.
Sure.
Guest stars Danny Strong, Tom Lenk, Azura Sky, Adam Bush, and Jonathan M. Woodward, where Marcella knows from...
everything. He was an angel. We hated him. We hated him. But then we also hated him on Firefly. He was also an asshole on Firefly. So he's just, and he got killed in all three things. He's just very good at being a bad guy.
All right then. And you know what? He's not too bad in this one, in this episode of Buffy. Actually, I feel like he helps Buffy out a little bit. This is the therapy she so deserves.
Yeah, he kind of does. And he's actually kind of a lot just like Knox. He's very like Knox.
Oh, that's right. He was Knox, an angel. Like, I don't know why that didn't connect.
Yep. That's he's right. Responsible for Illyria.
Yeah, he sucks. Okay.
He sucks.
So this episode starts out kind of... very differently. Like, they give us the date, November 12th, 2002, and then the time, 8:01 p.m., and then, like, the title of the episode, which is just, like, something different. They've never done that before, and don't do it after, either. I don't know what the significance
is. No, and I believe that is the same date that it aired.
Yeah.
And it happens in real time. So it takes it, like, the entire episode is 1 hour.
Okay.
Or whatever, 45, 54, whatever that ends up being with. Yeah. But it's structured, I think, in real time.
Okay. So, you know, they tried something, tried to get a little fanciful. And so we just kind of start off before credits with just everybody being like really broody all over the place. Like Spike is at a bar at the Bronze, I'm assuming. Well, there's no other bars other than Willie's and Sunnydale.
The ever-changing club that changes age groups for the episode.
Right. So Spike is there. He's drinking. Buffy's roaming. I'm patrolling in the cemetery. And Willow is at the library, considerably bored, it seems. And I think Dawn is like at home by herself. Mm-hmm. Now this all episode, the only episode of Buffy that Xander... Nicholas Brendan is not a part of, and that is because Xander didn't have any dead people to talk to. You know, had nothing to do with anything off screen or anything like that. It just didn't make any sense for him to be here because he had nobody to talk to have a conversation with. But it is nice to have a little Xander break.
It really is. I didn't miss him one bit. I actually didn't even notice he wasn't in the episode.
Right. I don't think I noticed either till like years later, until at a convention, somebody asked, why weren't you in Conversations with Dead People or something like that? I was like, huh, he wasn't.
Who would he have talked to? I mean, the only person that is dead.
Jesse.
Is that teacher he had a crush on.
Jesse.
Oh, he could have talked to Jesse. That would have been dope.
Right? Like,
Eric Balfour. Oh, that would have been great.
He was like, I mean, yeah, it would. I'm sure he wasn't doing anything, but yeah, like, I mean, you know, he didn't have a long vampire life, but it would have made sense. I think it would have been really like, it would have been shaky, like really for Xander to, and it would have been probably meant a lot to him. And it probably would have meant more though, had they talked more about Jesse after he had died. they never bring him up ever again. Like, are you kidding me?
No. And there are some things in this episode that sparked with me that I hadn't thought of ever before. One being, why isn't Willow in jail? So Warren did die, mm-hmm. and everyone knows that Warren did die. People may or may not know that Willow killed him, but there still should have been some kind of investigation into who killed Warren.
Well, she was also, I mean, she went straight up to the fucking police station and broke those dudes out. Like, I don't think she took the time to wipe those cops' memories. Like,
no.
Unless that's what they did at while she was in England.
And then that is kind of disturbing because, okay, she paid her penance because mm-hmm. she was sad and had magic. She killed a person, but that's okay. She was sad.
Right.
And it was mad. No, that's not okay.
Right. And even like Buffy and her moral compass, like she's always so quick about everybody paying for what they've done and all that stuff. Like she should be still harping on the fact that, yeah, Willow didn't do any jail time and she should have. Because Warren sucked, yes, but you still did a murder. And no matter, and exactly. Also, not even like, who knows how many innocent bystanders got caught in her wake? Like, is she like,
right?
Because that truck driver, did he make it out alive?
Right, right. Well, he at least has some very strong therapy bills because he looked real upset about trying to stop that truck.
Yeah.
But speaking of trucks, our two favorite On the Lam boys are on their way back from Mexico in what is one of the most disturbingly accidentally racist conversations I've seen.
Oh my God. Like, seriously, like, how do we, you just, why? Like, it's only this scene is like what? Like 45, like a minute and a half?
Right?
And they just
and
managed,
yet it is.
Just managed to, like, completely insult an entire nation of people. Like,
right.
Like, they're going
and,
on.
And it's really stupid. I don't understand why they have to say Mexicali. Like, it makes no sense. Like,
nobody
would say that.
Nobody. Like, because he's just trying to be an asshole. That only body would say that is being an asshole. Andrew complains about his time in Mexico because he didn't speak the language. And it was really hard to learn Mexicoan, is what he calls it.
Mexicoan.
And
yeah.
Jonathan is like, but you learned the entire, like, what was it? Like the Star Trek
Klingon dictionary in 2 weeks.
But you couldn't take time to figure out how to say where's the bathroom or excuse me.
Right.
In Spanish.
And then he ends up getting the translation wrong for From Beneath You It Devours. It eats you starting with your bottom. Which I guess is sort of correct.
Yeah, you know what? I can understand if you only know bits and pieces of Spanish, that how you mm-hmm. would mess that one up. So, yes, they return with hopes of being viewed as outlaws with a heart of gold because they want to help, or at least Jonathan wants to help.
Yeah, poor Jonathan.
So, you know, we got them. And then so Dawn is at home, like, doing some weird shit. Like, and I wonder, like, has she always been doing this stuff? Does she always do this when she's left home alone? Like, she...
And she gives me another reason not to like her with her little anchovies song. No, they're not the best fishes. Absolutely. They never will be.
No, and especially not, like, I wouldn't be mad.
It's gross.
I wouldn't be mad if a couple anchovies showed up on a slice of pizza that I was eating. But to order a whole pizza with nothing with anchovies, no. And to claim that they're the best fishes, no.
No. Nope.
So she's fucking
around. I do like her marshmallow trick in the microwave. I have done that.
So she's fucking around with electronics and marshmallows, blowing marshmallows up in the microwave. She's messing with Buffy's stuff, like shooting arrows in the house. And into the walls and doing damage, but by the end of this episode,
and like, that's possibly. Like, do you remember a throwaway line we get at the end of this series about a certain Miss Kitty Fantastico?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what happened to Miss Kitty.
Is this when she was fucking around with these arrows?
Probably. It was probably Dawn's fault. So now we know. We have solved the mystery death of Miss Kitty Fantastico. Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. And then poor Willow is in the library being bored, and she's confronted by Cassie, who we saw two episodes ago.
Yeah.
And Willow is confused because she never met Cassie. She saw her photo.
Right.
But she's confused because Cassie's dead.
Right. She's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's confusing that, you know, we never met before, but it's also confusing that you're dead and that we're meeting now. And so Cassie's like, yeah, whatevs, but here's the thing. I got messages from Tara. And so automatically that makes Willow just like, what? That intrigues Willow and opens the door right there for evil to come walking in.
Opens the door. She like kicked it down. She was like, let me tell you my life story and how I feel about everything. I have a couple questions first. Like, what is that's, I would have been asking her so many things. Like, you need to tell me this and this and this before I'm just going to believe that you're in contact with Tara. I'm not just going to take you for your word. I don't know you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were a depressed teenager.
Right. And you didn't know Tara. So why would she come to you? And the reasoning that she gives her is just kind of jacked up. You know, it's already manipulative because she starts off with, you know, Tara would like to come talk to you, but she can't because you killed a bunch of people. And those are the rules. And I've never.
At least she's paying for something.
I've never heard that in the spiritual realm that because you've murdered some people, then you can't talk to the spirits. But, you know, what do I know?
There are several things in this episode that I'm just like, wow, this wouldn't have happened to me. Like, I would not have just started talking to Cassie.
I would have got up and left.
Like, she got up and left.
No, just no words exchanged whatsoever. I know. Yeah, I'm going to.
No.
Come.
Because you're dead. Like, you're dead.
And you're not.
And then Dawn, weird shit starts happening to Dawn. I'd have left the house. I'm going to go find Buffy.
Right.
And I'm not going to stay here while this house attacks me.
Right. Because like, she didn't try very hard to talk to anybody. Like, she tried to call Buffy, but yet I don't see her try to call Xander or Willow or just like, I mean, she didn't leave. And then again, so like, you know, all this weird stuff is happening with Dawn. And like, she thinks she hears her mom call her name. And so that brings in that's her opening up another door for more evil to come in. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, so there's this evil entity that's like throwing shit around and attacking Dawn. But Dawn is led to believe that this thing is also like stopping her mother and hurting her mother, stopping her from coming and tell her whatever she wants to tell her.
So she goes on a destructive binge of destroying every electronic that's in the house.
Like, wow. Wow. And I'm really upset. Like, I'm going to keep an eye out for the next episode to see like just how much, because this house gets trashed beyond recognition. Like, not just furniture, but I'm talking like windows are out again. Yeah. It's broken out and there's just like holes and cuts in the walls. And it's too much. It's happened too much.
Their homeowner policy has to be insane. And they're just lucky that Xander is a contractor.
Right.
And I think he does make a statement in one season, like, he's so tired of replacing that window, front window. How about you just brick it up?
Right. Yeah. You know what? You guys don't need natural light in here anyway. It's fine.
It's a big picture window. Don't need it. Too dangerous.
Like, not with his lifestyle. It's not right.
No. But the most interesting part of this these little vignettes is Buffy in her therapy session with a brand new vampire straight out of the ground.
Love it. So dude pops up out of the ground, which every time, you know, the moment where he like his hand, the very beginning, his hand sticks out and she's like, here we go. That's me every morning when my kid wakes up.
And it doesn't stop until you put her to bed, right?
Right, exactly. So So she's getting ready to fight, dude. You know, her normal thing of waiting around for new vamps to pop up and kill him. And then he's like, oh, my God, Buffy, is that you? Turns out they went to school together in high school.
Not that she remembered him.
She's like, who, what, huh? Which I get it. Like,
I get it. I hate when that happens. He's like, but I did the thing with this. Okay. And I think at some point she's just like, yeah, you.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
Can like, we just move on to the next thing now? Like,
right. Because he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to be satisfied until she remembered him.
But I do love the moment they're talking and talking and talking, and then his face changes back to human. And he's so surprised. He's like, oh, did my face just change?
I was hoping that at that point, though, when he changed back to human, that she would have been like, oh, you. Mm-hmm. Because that would make sense. Still nothing. Mm-mm. So, you
know, it's because Buffy is self-involved, which they talk about.
But he also makes a good point of like, he's like, yeah, I get it. You're in your own world being all chosen and whatnot. It's like, now I understand. Like, everybody thought you were like a big mystery and you were dating some super old dude. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then we find the revelation that Scott Hope told the world she was gay, which made me think of the biker from the Buffy movie that she kicks off of the bike and he calls her a very horrible name and then's like, I'll tell the world. Right. And then Holden tells us a few years later, Scott comes out.
Right. Yeah. So he's doing the thing. It's like a super awkward, you know, run into somebody you don't remember from high school moment. Because now, you know, on top of the fact that she doesn't remember who he is and has no real interest in catching up, she has to kill him. So, like, dude is
and
like...
And it turns out he's taking Psych 101, so he is very interested in all of Buffy's behaviors.
Like, you know what? To be honest, this might be the best of both worlds for Buffy, because she finally gets to talk to somebody, tell all her secrets to them, or just get some therapy happening. I mean, no matter how, I mean, it's a little infantile, a little elementary. He's only, it's like, you know, 101. He probably only got like, what, 2 years, in, a year in maybe. Mm-hmm. But then she gets to kill him. And so he can tell her secrets to no one.
He does say, he has a line where he, and it's really good, where he said, she's trying to apologize for like dumping all of this on him. And he's like, hey, sometimes you can only tell certain things to a stranger.
Right.
And he's completely correct. There's an unbiased party.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got some good points. He gives some good points to her about, you know, I love when he tells her that you've got a superiority complex and an inferiority complex because of it.
Yeah.
Go, Buffy. You're so complicated.
She's a complicated little bundle of noodles. And the only thing I don't like about it is I feel like season 6, she did a lot of things with Spike that, sure, were outside of her character. Mm. But to demonize those things that she did,
it seems a lot.
Is a little... It does. It does.
Like
who? I mean, some of that stuff was her idea, too. Right. So,
like, why couldn't it just been her experimenting to see, like, what she liked and what, and come to find out, you know what? I don't like that. I don't like who I am.
Right.
It doesn't have to necessarily mean that you were punishing yourself about anything.
Exactly. Or you were a bad person because of it.
Right.
So that was the only part I didn't really like.
Yeah.
And poor Dawn. I think, I don't know who had a worse time here. I really don't. Because maybe Buffy. Buffy probably had the least traumatic evening. Sure, she finds out something kind of shocking at the end, which we'll get to. Right. But, like,
I think if anything, like, yeah, she gets shocked at the end of her meeting with Holden, but then it's also like he does, like, he gives her what she needs at the moment.
Right.
She needed somebody to talk to lay all this down for.
Willow takes this emotional roller coaster where she's like sad, then elated, and then confused, and then mad.
So she's okay. So to Willow now, her dead person. So Cassie is talking to her and telling her all this jazz about, you know, supposedly like Tara still sings to you. You know, remember, like, you know, in the musical episode when she sang, when you guys sang
when
together?
You were on the bridge.
She still sings to you, even though you can't hear. Blah blah blah. But then Cassie's like, you know what? We've both seen your path. It's going to end terribly. You're going to kill everybody unless you don't stop using magic altogether. Just like leave it alone. Don't do not one more spell at all. And Willow's like, but Giles said.
Giles said it's not that easy.
That's actually going to be the worst possible thing for me to do. It's like, I need to control it, not ignore it. I'll just go off the deep end. And Cassie's just like, no. Not one more spell. You're going to kill everybody.
Yep. Don't you want to be with Tara again? That's what she wants. And, you know, there is a way that you guys can be together.
And then you won't. And then everybody will be safe. And Willow's like,
That's the best. That is the best reaction. The most realistic.
Right. Wait a minute.
I don't know about this.
And what is that? What is that way? You can just kill yourself.
And then she's like, now stop.
Now I know. Tara didn't send you here. You are not talking to my sweet baby Tara. That's not.
And then Cassie, who we found out is actually the first,
right,
starts making fun of Willow.
Like, insult to injury, like, ma'am.
Oh, baby, you have such a big hole.
I was very vulnerable. I trusted you.
But good segue again, because speaking of misplaced trust, poor Jonathan has traveled back to Sunnydale, and he and Andrew have come to Sunnydale High to uncover some kind of proof that there are dirty dealings going on in the town, because they don't think anyone will believe them unless they have proof.
Right. There's like a seal of Danzig or something. I don't remember.
But turns out, poor Jonathan's being played.
Ugh. Because Andrew's talking to a dead person, too. He's talking to Warren.
Yep. Someone I did not miss.
No, not at all. And he's like, you know, the typical Warren stuff and whatnot. And this, like, and it's cute. It's before Warren is revealed, you know, Andrew and Jonathan have this little moment of like, you know, we'll get proof and then, you know, we'll help save the town and everybody. And you think Buffy will let us hang out with the gang? Like, it's like, oh, buddy.
Maybe.
And then they're both like, you really think she'll let us hang out with them? It's like, oh.
And then Andrew turns on him.
Like a cheap fucking asshole. I don't know. I didn't have a good metaphor.
And he pulls out a very big knife and he stabs poor Jonathan in his little belly.
Well, it's fucked up. And this is like where the burn is. And it's like a serious burn on this one for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's his name? Warren is telling him. And I guess this is the only way. I don't know. What? Why he's
that
doing
they
this?
Can be gods.
Yes, they can be gods.
Convinces him they're going to be gods.
And for whatever, like, Andrew also asks him, he's like, you think Willow could kill me too? It's like, bro, I need you to, like, I need you to go and have a talk with Holden also. Like,
yes.
Can you go get yourself a therapy session real quick?
Yep.
But Jonathan starts talking about how walking through the halls has made him all nostalgic for high school. He's like, I miss my friends. I miss my enemies. I miss the ups and the downs, you know. And Andrew's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, high school sucked. And he's like, you know, but after a while, that kind of stuff like fades away and you just remember kind of the good things and whatever. And then he's like, you know, I wonder what everybody's up to, like this person and that person, da, da, da. And Andrew's like, not one of those single people are sitting around wondering about you. Nobody cares about you. It's like, damn, dude. Like,
yeah.
Were you just?
It's hurtful. It is probably the most hurtful burn ever on the show. Because it's not even. It's just hurtful.
For no good reason. And even after he says, like, Jonathan's like, I still worry. I still wonder about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, damn it.
Like, you know what, Andrew? People think about Jonathan. If at the very least, they think about the time when he almost killed them all.
Exactly. Remember that guy that was like up in the watchtower?
Right. Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, right, exactly. Or, yeah, so.
Turns out, he's a heavy bleeder.
How?
The amount of CG blood that comes out of that poor man's belly.
And like, he wasn't even, I don't. Like, did the knife go all the way through? Because he's on his back, isn't he? He's not even on his stomach.
He's on his back, and he got stabbed in the belly.
So, yeah. So, poor Andrew. Dead
poor, zone. Poor R.I.P. Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan. Damn it, I keep messing them up.
They're interchangeable. They really are. But back to poor Donnie. Donnie decides she's going to do a kind of a vanquishing spell on this spirit. So she gathers up supplies and things, and she's shouting at it and telling it to, she's trying to banish it from the house, and she's calling on all these things. I don't know where she learned this spell.
No idea.
I don't know where she I think she's just making shit up at
right,
this point.
Because she's in a frantic mode. Like, I don't think mm-hmm. this is the best space for you to be in to try to be doing magic.
Right. And then it appears as if she has banished whatever it is. And a ghostly Joyce appears.
A heavenly, ethereal presence. Everything gets mm-hmm. glowy and pretty and pure.
And to this day, I can't figure out if that was the first fucking with her.
Mm, or if that was Joyce.
Or if that was Joyce giving her a warning. Because later down the line, it turns out that it's Dawn that doesn't choose Buffy.
Right.
But it is still a valid warning.
It is. So basically, Joyce just tells her, you know, when it all comes down to it. Like, things are about to get bad. And when it comes down to it, Buffy's not going to choose you. Like, you're on your own. It's like... Which I don't...
And she kind of is.
Which, I mean, I guess if the first is just like has no real agenda, it's just like, I'm just going to fuck with this kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that was one way to do it. Because, I mean, what could the first gain from that, from Dawn having that information?
Right. So that's what made me always wonder if that was Joyce or if that was, because it could have been the first fucking with her up until then. But then right. did she succeed in doing this banishing spell and kicked it out?
Right.
And then Joyce was like, hey.
And
look,
Joyce had like happened to see what, like, you know, get some rumblings wherever she yeah. was about like what something's happening with your kid. So maybe there's something,
right.
there's a thing trying to fuck with her. So maybe you want to go check in on her.
Well, and when the potentials start to come later in the season, Buffy does throw all of her energy into those potentials.
Yeah.
And does not really pay much attention to Dawn for a while.
Right. Especially when Dawn starts to think that she's a potential.
Mm-hmm.
Or until
I really wish she had been, that because she has Slayer blood, it only makes sense.
Right.
You made a big deal of telling us that she was made out of Buffy's blood.
Right.
So missed opportunity and lazy writing.
So, yeah. So let's like make it official, like make it worthwhile. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, what was the real point in bringing Dawn right. on the show? Other right. than like a cousin Oliver situation from the Great
A scrappy do, if you will. But poor Buffy is back in getting therapy from Holden, and they come to some very good conclusions for Buffy. She's got some takeaways, you know.
That's maybe some action items.
Yeah, she's got some TED Talks to watch, but she's on, you know. And he asks her about her last relationship and if it was, you know, with a vampire.
Right. Because I forget what she says, something that makes him trigger that. He's just like, what? He's like, yeah, all right. She's, mm-hmm. I'm a guess.
And so she ends up telling him, yes, it was. And she somehow mentions Spike's name.
Yeah, something of a, I think he says something to her. She's like, that's what Spike told me or something like that. And then he's like.
And he's like, whoa, Spike? How do you, I know a Spike. What do you, she's like, what do you mean? How do you know a Spike?
Right.
You know, he's the guy that did the thing. The
stuff with the vampiring or something. Or he,
and she was like, siring. It's called siring. And then when he says Spike, she's like, sire?
Sire.
And then they do something that pissed me off so bad because they actually did. So he took 2 years of Taekwondo. So he was actually the toughest competition she's faced in a while.
Right.
And they were having some pretty decent fights.
Yeah.
And he said, I had a move coming up to block that stake, by the right. way. But when he talks about Spike, they cut away to something else.
I think it's just Spike.
And then when they come back, it's just dust.
Yeah. Like, they cut away to Spike. Okay, so Spike, while all this is going on, everybody's having their conversation, Spike's at the bar. He picks up some blonde girl who, I'm going to call her Josie. Josie and the yes. Pussycats.
I like it.
Because she's got, like, I think she has a leopard print collar.
She does.
On her jean jacket. And he ends up leaving with her, and we never get any dialogue from Spike's Mm-mm. scenes. And then, you know, after dude tells Buffy Spike sired her, she's like, huh? And then they cut to Spike biting Josie in yeah. the alleyway or something. And we're all
like... Well, he walked her home, and she invited him in.
Ah.
But... he didn't want to go in.
Yeah. So he did his dirt on the porch.
on the front steps, like, people can see.
Anybody could have walked by, sir.
Which we all know this is a really messed up situation because technically he still has the chip at this point and right. should not be able to eat anyone.
Right. Not to mention his soul also.
That as well. So. And we know he's been in the crazy pants basement being fucked with by the first for a long time. Right. So, and there has to be some kind of play there. And then basically on the dusting of Holden, the episode and the eating of that girl, the episode basically just ends.
Well, yeah. And also we've got like there's like the whole spooky CGI with Cassie turning back and like eating herself or whatever. Like she like turns inside out. She gets this really.
I didn't like that.
I hate that. That's like the visuals of it. She gets this really wicked smile and then just like. Basically, like somebody just pulled her outsides out and turned her inside out, and then she poof disappears.
That was almost as horrifying as whatever that zombie Joyce on the couch with the demon.
Yeah, yeah.
In her dead outfit, her dead out, like that's fucked up.
Yeah, like I don't know how Dawn could come back from that because I barely could come back from that.
I'm telling you, everybody needed a session with Holden.
Right. She's like, you know,
Buffy shouldn't have been so quick to dust.
Like, I'm not going to kill you yet. You have some group rates. Like, we would like to get everybody in on this.
Not to mention, I'm just saying, couldn't you have just, like, taken him to Spike and been like, this guy? But you're going to kill the proof.
Right.
So when you later have to be like, you sired this guy, and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, you could have been like, this guy. Right. I know I don't remember him, but you certainly have to. It was only a few days ago.
Right. Exactly. Because Spike didn't get a name, I'm sure. I'm certain. Right. He can't be like, Holden. He's like, what? So, yeah. So that was like, this episode leaves you in a what the fuck? Because of the whole Spike situation. And that I appreciate.
It almost feels like a two-parter because the very next episode picks up right away with the aftermath of what happened. Which should be, what, Dawn, what the fuck? Like, is it just me? Or, like, the entity that was fucking with Dawn didn't really do it. Like, put some wind in the house and she had to shut the door. But all of the damage
was kind of, like, just superficial and temporary because, like, the blood that was splattered on the walls disappeared immediately.
For a minute, I thought it was going to put everything back and make her look crazy as fuck.
Right. But no. So, yeah, Dawn did a lot of the throwing of things and breaking things. And, I'm pretty. So the entity really. It was all Dawn.
It may have blown out the window.
It did it? Or did Dawn hit the window?
Or did Dawn do it?
Yes, most of that damage
was Dawn.
So basically
this is an hour long of people getting fucked with.
Right.
And there's no... Other than that, it doesn't really... I guess it does kick off a new kind of plot arc with Andrew being in town and the Seal of Danthazar, I think. And like, what's gonna come out of this seal? And seriously, this high school is in Sunnydale. Are there no guards ever?
Why is it so easy to break into the school? It doesn't make
at
any
night,
sense to
me. Like,
yeah.
I don't get it.
This is like 2002 at this point, like the school.
Right.
Especially after like the history of the school, there should be an alarm system.
Yes.
If not a guard, there should be an alarm system.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And it's a brand new school that they just built. Don't you think they'd have some kind of high-tech alarm system?
Nobody cares enough in this town. Everyone's just like,
we are barely, we are treading water here. There is an interesting little trivia note that I didn't realize. Speaking of treading water, at one point we get to see that population of Sunnydale sign.
Oh, do we?
In the episode. And it says that the population is 32,900.
Hmm.
When Spike came to town in School Hard, the population was 38,500.
Oh, shit.
That is only a few years.
Yeah. This is like 4 years later. Like, this right. should be.
You should not have lost thousands of people.
Right. And not to mention so many that you guys had to get a new sign made. Like,
right.
It was like that significant.
Does it just have like those numbers that you can change?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's
someone just comes and pulls a number off. You're like, well, okay. In the high school, we lost about 500. Between parents and siblings.
Right. It's like a Wendy's marquee at this point. It's like got the changing letters.
It's digital at this point. Right. You just have to update it from your phone. 1,000 lives lost.
That's
keep
insanity.
Going.
It's
that's the Sunnydale logo.
Right.
Keep driving.
Going. No, not here. This isn't where you want to stop.
Let's just unpack this for a second. So thousands of people we've discovered from this trivia have died in this town. Mm-hmm. And no one's asking questions outside of Sunnydale. Like, no one's... Like, when they do the census each year, they're not like... huh. Or every... What is it? Every 4 years for the census? Or 10 years? Well, however. Whatever.
Assume folks are flocking to L.A. They're just, like, right. leaving Sunnydale and going to L.A. That's what's happening. So yeah, song of the week. Is this the song that they sang in the beginning?
Yeah, it's called Blue by Angie Hart, and it seems as if it was also written by Angie Hart and Joss Whedon.
Ah, so this, I'm assuming this was an episode specific song.
Yeah, because I can't find it anywhere.
Interesting.
Other than like weird Buffy sites that have like lyrical videos. Yeah. Remember when everybody was making a lyric video?
Oh yeah. Good times.
So, here's another funny random trivia. Danny Strong read the script with Tom Lenk on their way home from a convention and reportedly skipped the part where Jonathan's death was described, and Tom had to break the news to him. Can you imagine getting on set like, what the shit?
What are we doing with that, guys?
Right. Oh, yeah, Joss got to say he wrote another song. Aww.
Yeah. So bodies dropped. We only have a couple.
Yeah, just three.
But one is
an unnamed part. Woman.
Yeah, well.
Which we have hence branded her as Josie.
And then we've got poor Holden poor and then poor Jonathan, which, you know, that's not really. I mean, I love what, you know, Tom Lenk contributes to the rest of this series as the last standing member of the trio. But it's upsetting that Jonathan had to go too. But again, you know, what's his name? What is his name? Real life?
Andrew? Oh, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny Strong.
Danny Strong.
He's fine.
Yeah, he is good. He has gone
Doesn't
on
he have,
to
like, do... Oscars and stuff?
Probably. I'm pretty sure Oscars, Emmys. He probably has a Grammy. Like, I don't know. Like, it's... Like, dude,
the only thing I'm waiting for at this point is a Tony.
Yeah, like he's
the man is talented, y'all.
Yeah, and apparently, like I had no idea.
Did you
like,
see Empire?
Came out of nowhere where he was concerned. I was like, he what mm-hmm. now? Danny Strong
and surprisingly writes very well for people of color.
Right? It's like
because season one of Empire was the shit.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if he had anything to do with further seasons because I stopped watching.
I stopped watching after the second season. Third season.
I stopped watching after the first episode of the second season.
I was like, and we're done.
Mm-hmm. When they revealed who died.
Yeah.
Between the two ladies mm-hmm. and they made the wrong choice.
Right.
The wrong decision was made in the writer's room. That was it for me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, done, fucked up. I'm not, I won't. I refuse.
This was kind of one of those moments with it could have, like, at the time, my love for Buffy was so strong, I don't think anything could have killed it. But I thought about it for a minute because Jonathan's been around since season one, and he's just this little puppy that doesn't really have an effect on the overall show, but you love to see him when he does pop up.
Yeah, he was just one of those reoccurring characters that, you know, he really didn't have a name or anything until, like, mm-mm. maybe, what, the third season or whenever?
I think season two.
That's when that episode aired?
Go Fish.
Oh, okay. So
when they were bullying
that's
him
right.
on the swim
yeah.
team.
Okay. So, yeah, and he was, you know, because we didn't get a lot of the same students in throughout their high school career, which was always troublesome to me. Like, you know, we'd have a student and it's like, oh yeah, this, we're going to spotlight them this episode and then never speak of them again. And so that always kind of,
especially the domestic abuse couple.
Right. Can we talk about what happened to them?
Right. Or even Scott Hope. Like, he arrived when he wanted to date Buffy and then he disappeared when they didn't.
Right. Did he transfer schools? I don't, like, what happened?
Well, we only saw him one other time, and it was when she tried to get him to vote for her for homecoming queen.
Right.
Other than that, it was like, he never, I don't even remember seeing him at graduation. He didn't fight with them.
Nah, yeah, there should have been a lot, at least at graduation, there should have been more of those, like, students that we saw throughout the season, throughout their high school career.
But Jonathan got a dope moment at that when he got to shield Cordelia from the explosion.
Yeah.
So R.I.P., Jonathan. This is not the last we will see of you. You do have some very awkward interactions to come,
but for
but it's not really you.
Yes, for the most part, you will be missed.
Mm-hmm.
This episode kind of does pass the Bechdel test. I think I want to say, like, Cassie and Willow's conversation.
Yeah, I think the end, and even Dawn's to an extent, because she's not talking about a man. She's mostly concerned about her mom.
Right.
When she's talking to her mom,
she's talking about Buffy.
Yeah. And when she's talking to Janice on the phone, they're just being girls. It's nice to see that she still is hanging out with Janice, though.
Right? Like,
although Janice got her into some shit. And if I were her legal guardian,
Janice better not come around here no more.
Right. Like, couldn't it have been Kat? It would have made more sense because we don't even see Janice at school. No. Does Janice go to a different school? Because where was she on your first day of school?
Yeah. Yeah, when she was, like, all worried about not having friends or not fitting in or anything. Like, Janice should have been there worrying right along with her.
Right, but she wasn't.
Weird. Weird. Mm-hmm. For example, like, yes, this is, like, what we're talking about. Where, like, all the kids don't show, like, the high school, like, just, they're just not consistent with the students and their friends or acquaintances that we see.
Bummer.
So, any hoozles.
Any hoozles. This is a very good episode of Buffy. It is not your typical episode of Buffy. It's a grown-up episode, I would
say. Yeah.
I'd say this is one, if you're going to binge it with your children, you're going to have some talks afterwards. It's not going to be the fun, let's kill some vampires. Right. It's going to be like, Mom, why is she so sad?
Right, yeah. Like, what is she talking about? Sexual violence. What does that mean?
Ugh. What's that?
Oh, God.
It's like, never mind.
At least in this day and age, you can be like, you know what Google is? So you go Google this stuff. And then when you have some questions.
Because you're going to come up with some terrible... Your algorithms are going to be shot afterwards.
Yep. And we might get some visits by some men in suits, but. And is it? Oh, no. I know. That's the next episode. You know how sometimes whatever platform you're watching it on, you, like, look at your phone for a minute and you don't realize the next episode has started?
Yes.
And that happens with this episode because it really does pick up.
Right.
Literally.
And you're just like, this is a long...
Right.
We've been watching this for a while.
Wait. Because like... I looked up, I'm like, wait, did Willow... Willow doesn't come until the next episode, into the house, right?
Right.
Until the next episode.
So I would say the moral of this story is that we all need somebody to talk to sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes a stranger does work, I guess, as long as they're okay with it. You know, you don't just go
as long as they're a licensed professional stranger.
Right. Or, you know, yeah. Or, you know, just don't go spilling your guts to any and some rando on the street, because that could not be received well.
No. And I would say also at the same time, like, yes, everyone needs someone to talk to, but more importantly, everyone needs someone that will listen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So be somebody that will listen.
Yeah. Because Holden was, even though, which when he's like, I'm not here to, I'm here to kill you, Buffy, not to judge you. That's it's good stuff right there, buddy.
It's good stuff right there. And it's true. We all need someone that will listen, not just agree with us.
Right. Exactly. And he did a good job. It's a shame that he was, you know, planning on being diabolical. I love, like, all of his plans that he had. Like, you've been a vampire for, like, 20 minutes, bro. And you've already got all these plans of destruction. It's like, he's like, well, I am diabolical, or I plan to be.
He's like, I can't go vampifying all of my, well, I guess I'll be looking up all of my friends. Right. So he was going to make himself a gang.
Right. He was all, he was on it. He was ready to go. He has bought this. Is there anybody, like, has there, I'd be interested to know if there were anybody that was turned into a vampire that was just like, I didn't want this.
Right? That they're just right away like, ugh. Or has there been, like, the stupid vampire that, like, climbed out of the grave and tripped and fell on a... on a tree branch,
or they climb out in the day.
Yes. Ow. One thing that I just remembered that I was going to ask you your opinion on is the first when, as Cassie was talking to Willow, makes a comment that we talked about do you remember that time when you sang on the bridge? How did she know that? How did the first know that?
Like, is the first a mind reader? Is that because, I mean...
That's what I'm wondering. Or is it a creepy stalker who's just been sitting in the shadows, like, watching everyone?
Well,
like, what information does it have access to? Could it access her memories while it was in front of her? Or, like, I don't get how it works.
And maybe that's it. Because, you know, all of the... What is it? Like... I don't know. Because, I mean... Because I don't know, like... What's his name? Spike wasn't around when the master was there. Did Spike even ever know the master? Because I'm pretty sure, like, Darla and Angel cut ties with him by the time they got to Spike.
Right. And by the time that Darla left Spike and Drusilla and went back to the master, they had separated.
Maybe it's just the first is just always lurking in Sunnydale in the Hellmouth and just a creepy stalker dude. Because I don't, because, like, you know, all the stuff. Because
Spike had never met the mayor either.
He didn't? Because I remember the mayor saying something about Spike up to his old tricks again or
they
something.
Say, yeah, because they knew what was going on when he was in town, but he never met them.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
I don't think he ever met him.
So, yeah, so it's kind
must
of,
just be anyone?
Yeah, because, so, yeah, so Spike wouldn't have any memories of the mayor or the master to access. So maybe it's
yeah. Why wasn't he like, well, who are the who's
right?
Who that?
Who is this,
like,
guy?
You're trying to scare me, but who's this guy?
Why is he important?
Like, the master's straight terrifying.
Right.
And if I want to suspend my disbelief, even though they can't, I guess they can be on video and people can make pictures of them. Maybe at some point he saw a photo of the master because he was kind of big.
He was a big deal.
Very old. So maybe in, like, Vampire Times he had an article or two. So, okay, maybe Spike knew him.
He had a poster on his wall.
Right, and maybe he saw posters of the mayor around Sunnydale.
Maybe. But he still didn't know the connection, I guess, of the
right.
mayor. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that it's just a creepy, just, like, always there lurking in the shadows and knowing what's going on. But also, like just knows all, sees all, and remembers all. Like, how do you pull
right.
that memory? Like, that was a
right.
That wasn't significant back when it happened, them singing on and a bridge. Like, why would you take note
right.
of that to use?
Right. That's not, like, the most memorable thing they've ever done together. She sang one time. You made it seem like she still sings.
Right. Like, that's what they were doing. Like, that was one time, literally, like, that happened.
Right.
And the town was under a spell. So, I mean...
Right.
It wasn't like it was a normal thing. Like, oh, she always, like, put notes in my lunchbox. Like, that's not what it was.
And is that the only dead person that they could have used for, like, for Willow to talk to is Cassie? Like,
no. Like, it could have been somebody that she would have actually trusted more. Like, it still doesn't make sense to me, like, why she would just, like, immediately trust Cassie. Like,
some
that.
High school student.
Right, that she never yep. met. That.
Right. It would have made sense to bring, like, oh, that would have been great.
Miss Callender. Oh, wait. What's her name? Says she didn't want to come back. That's why she didn't
no,
come back.
Yeah. That would have been cool, Miss Callender. But I was more thinking that Rodney Munson kid played by...
my boyfriend?
what's his... Yeah.
Why can't I remember his name ever?
Clay.
Because
it's fucked up. That's right. Why.
It's not a real name.
My boy's got a fucked up name. Y'all know who we're talking about.
Chase Clayton. It's like he does have a really jacked up name. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
And because of that, I can't Google him. Like,
right. I don't even know. Well, okay. So
the Google the guy from Lethal Weapon show.
Lethal Weapon that got fired.
Yeah, Clayton Crawford.
That's it. He has two kind of first names. That's or two last names.
Right.
But like, it could have been someone like him, you know, because she mentioned she had always helped him with his homework and. You know, she Clayne went and talked to him instead of Buffy.
All right, this is for real. Clayne Crawford. Because I Googled Clayton Crawford and it came up Clayton Crawford obituary. I was like, no, not today. No, that's
not. Oh, this poor man. Well, I mean, he's not, apparently he's not very nice, so.
Right.
But I just think that I'm not sure Cassie was the best choice of people.
No,
for her to talk to.
No, it wasn't. Like, there could
they
have
must
been,
have
like,
just signed her to a 2-episode deal or something.
Like, they were gonna do more with her and just decided not to. Like, she was supposed to be in an episode before the one where she gets killed. They
right.
were just like, well, we have this other part that you can maybe be interested in. Would you like to play the first?
And she actually was, I liked her with Dawn. She would have made a nice friend with Dawn if they had put her in an episode before that and developed a relationship with Dawn. Right. A genuine relationship right. with Dawn instead of forcing Dawn to get to know her.
Right. That would have made more sense that she was already like friendly with Dawn or whatnot. And that's why mm-hmm. Buffy, she was on Buffy's radar. And then she said, so instead of doing that whole stupid thing with like the montage of the kids coming to see her, da da da. So yeah.
On a whole, season 7 has its ups and downs, kids. That's what you'll learn.
Right. But so next week is Sleeper. This is where things get totes interesting.
Is this the song?
I think so.
When it has the song at the end with.
Yeah, it's gotta be. And it's not the one where we still got a while before Wood. Until we find out what about Wood, but.
Do you mean the Dirty Girls episode?
That's the one, yeah. So Sleeper gets, things are going to get like a little more interesting now. Not that they haven't been, but Spike's storyline starts.
Is this the one where Andrew dresses up like Spike?
Where he's hooked
he's
up.
He's wearing
with
the coat.
I'm
the
hooked
boots.
Up with a wonderful vampire from Mexico. We've fallen in love. That's why he's at the butcher shop. I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. But we will find out.
We will find out next time.
Revisiting Sunnydale is produced by Rugged Angel Productions and hosted by Camila and Marcella. Please follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are in the giving mood, please consider being a patron by going to patreon.com/revisitingsunnydale.